Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Night Court. I'm Rob Fisher alongside Brevin Knight as we talk some NBA and some Grizzlies and, well, frankly, whatever is on our mind, we will talk about here on Night Court. We're glad you're with us. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also catch us on Twitter at The Fish Nation, at Brevin Knight 22, and at Night Court 22. If you want to follow us on Twitter, good way to be updated with the show. Make sure you tell your friends, make sure you subscribe, and make sure you keep tuning in here to Night Court. BK, how are you, man?
Man, I'm doing good, Roberto. Doing good. Enjoying our time off and being happy that it hasn't been super hot to this point. That's what I'm happy about.
Yeah, it's been nice. Although we got a little rain here in Memphis. We got some rain coming through just about every day. One of those things where it's like beautiful in the morning, and then all of a sudden it's just miserable in the afternoon. So we've had a little dose of that. But, man, I was talking to someone the other day, and I thought to myself, all right, well, the draft's coming up, and then you got summer league, and then you got college football camp get started, then college football season starts, and then the NBA season starts.
we're not going to leave out the NFL because my Giants are going to be really good.
That's right. That's right.
So we got to toss the NFL in there. But and we got, for me, golf right now. So golf is my little buffer in the sports world. But as you said, sucks. After next week, things really get rolling on the NBA side and then rolls into college football, as you mentioned. So the sports will start to ramp up. And before that time, though, I'm going to enjoy this little downtime and really enjoy the golf course.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying watching a lot of baseball. So that's been good for me.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mention that.
Yeah, either. I know. We got the College World Series going on, which is kind of fun. And
that I'm into.
Stanford, one of the great, awful wins of all time.
Hey, listen, the win's a win. At the end of the day, did you win? We can all get the semantics of how, whatever, but for those that are playing, just did you win?
Yeah, I wonder if the Stanford guys, were they shining lasers in the eyes of the outfielders? Because that was three dudes lost the ball in the lights. Three of them. It's unbelievable. I've never seen it before.
It was because it was meant to be.
I guess. I guess with the basketball news, we should start with the big news. Ja Morant suspension finally handed down by the league. Ja will miss the first 25 games of the season. The commissioner issued a statement. Ja issued a statement as well. Nike issued a statement. Grizzlies issued a statement. Everybody issued statements after it was all said and done. I'm happy it's over. Yes. Now you can kind of plan for what you need to do in those 25 games and, you know, get Ja's statement out of the way. I'm glad he'll be able to be around the team at least during the suspension. And it's, you know, it is what it is. It's interesting, Brevin. You're talking about a 25-game suspension. I haven't heard anybody in Memphis be like, that's it. That's just wrong. The league was terrible. This is unfair. They're out to get the Grizzlies. I think everyone's just like, okay, is what it is. Let's go.
Well, I think because at some point we all knew there was going to be something. The only time when you have this little bit of in-between or indecision for anything is because you don't know if what's going to happen. You don't know is something like we knew there were going to be time. And we knew it was going to be extended time. It was just how long was it going to be. And right. I think when the 25 games came out, it was like, okay, We knew it was coming. I thought somewhere between the 20 and 30 with kind of the 25 being you saw the guys with PEDs and things of that nature. You thought, okay, maybe around that 25. And so it came down, I think, for Ja Morant and for everyone else. It's like, okay, here it is. It's done with. Now you take your steps moving forward. And that is for the team, it just becomes the decision they have to make for can you hold it down in 25 games or do you make a decision to do something that really – it's a really big impact because of the suspension. But at least at this point, there's no more gray areas. The definitive has happened. And like I said, the same way as you haven't had a lot of that uproar, it's the same feeling I have. You hate that we even have to be at this point. You hate that it had to happen at all. But it's another learning experience. And I think it's one that he'll learn from and he'll come back a better person for.
And that's the thing I was just going to say. Taylor Jenkins talks a lot about learning experiences and trying to get better from all your experiences. And that's what you hope for with Ja. You know, I think, you know, a year ago when we looked at the trajectory of the Grizzlies and Ja Morant's career, everything was bright and rosy and wonderful. Right now, when we look at the Grizzlies' trajectory and we look at Ja Morant's career, we go, all right, I wonder which path he'll take. And you hope it's the right path. But there's a little doubt now. And, you know, that's up to Ja. Ja's, you hope he becomes stronger for it. You hope it is a learning experience. You hope he's humbled a little bit. And you hope that, as he keeps saying, he can get his mental right. And that's what you hope for during this time. And when he comes back, I mean, boy, us normal human beings look at and say, boy, I don't know how you couldn't learn from this experience, but hopefully he will.
Yeah, I think a big word you said, I think the humbling part is just how big of a story it has been for how long it's been a story.
Yeah.
This happened, and then it was in the news for a minute, and we were on to the next thing. This has continued to be in the news, and because there was no decision for the entire finals, it just prolonged it all. And so I think for him, it's probably personally, has been something that's weighed on him that could have been a humbling experience, but it's also a financial hit. So it's a two-pronged situation in that, yes, you take the the public opinions of it all and all that had an opinion on it, but then you also have to have the financial ramifications for it also. And so I could only expect that he'll come back in a better position because of this.
Yeah, I agree. And now I guess the question is, you go into the off season, does this change how you approach the off season, knowing that he's going to be gone for 25 games?
I think in some ways you definitely, it has to be a part of your plans, because 25 games is a large part of the season. You're talking about just about a third, almost a third of your games, a little bit less than a third of your games that you're going to play. And you people always talk about you wanting to get off to good starts. And so the thing that we've leaned on, that this team has leaned on, is chemistry for so many years. And that chemistry in some ways will be shifted. It's just how much do you shift it? Like, do they make moves knowing that he's coming back, or do you not make moves knowing that he's coming back? Right. It's you kind of go one way or the other, but I think whatever moves that they were going to be able to make that were going to be impactful to the team, I think they'll still make no matter what, because they had to get better. And you're not gonna, the team wasn't going to get better just by a draft pick. That's not, this it's unrealistic to believe that. And so along with that, those are the ideas of how they do it, when. I still think you still have that same mindset, but you do have now the asterisk of the 25 games with Morant being out.
Yeah. Kendrick Perkins says Ja needs to get out of Memphis. Go to Miami.
I say everybody's entitled to their opinion, man. You know, I think Ja, his issue has nothing to do with the city of Memphis.
Right.
If you think that he has such a problem, why would you put him in the middle of something where it's a lot easier to find more problems?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Here's why, Brevin. Because it's the summer months, the finals are over, and we have nothing to talk about. And in the meeting that morning, Kendrick pretty much says, "Hey, I could go, you know, double down on my jaw take. We could do that."
That's all. Yeah, because I mean, His issues and what he did is no tie to the city of Memphis. Like the city has its positives and has its negatives, just like any other city in this nation. And so I think he'll continue to get as much support as he'll get from anywhere else by being in the city of Memphis. The way he is right now is because the people of Memphis absolutely love Ja Morant and understand that mistakes have been made, but they will not condemn him in any fashion for this.
No. All right. Before we move too much further into the future, I want to talk about the NBA Finals. Denver Nuggets win the finals. Yes. They do it in five games. Joker was amazing. As I said to you the other day, I think when you get down to it, bottom line was one team's eight were better than the other's team's eight. Denver's eight were really good, all of them.
They played well, and they made the adjustments necessary to continue to play well. I thought physically, you saw them be able to withstand that from Miami, and that was huge. To not let their smaller lineups and physical smaller lineups be able to take away their size advantage. And it didn't take away their size advantage. And their two stars were stars every night.
Yeah.
And so when you get that in combination with the individual play of everyone else that's on the floor, they were exactly who they were through the regular season. I thought that was the one issue that they had in the past. Because once it got to the playoffs, then they couldn't do the same things that they'd done in the regular season.
Right.
Well, they didn't have those issues at all. And they were a great road team in the playoffs. When you can win on the road the way that they won on the road, then you put yourself in a position to win series. And that's what they did.
Again, it's the summer months, so people need stuff to talk about. For some reason, there's been a great debate this week of, is this the start of a dynasty? And having a debate on whether or not it's going to be a dynasty. Because we've now had five different champions in five different years, which I think is great. And the Nuggets now being the latest. Could they be a dynasty? Why not? Brevin, they'll go into next season as the favorite. They got the best player on the floor almost every night that they play. They've won a championship. Could they? Yeah. Now, could they go through some injury problems next year? Michael Porter's back acts up and he's out for an extended period of time. Aaron Gordon breaks a pinky and he's out for 3 weeks. I mean, health is such a huge part of winning a championship. Huge part. But if they're healthy, sure they could. Why not? They'll be one of the best teams in the regular season again.
Well, I think a big reason why they were successful this year is because they were healthy all year this year. And into the playoffs, they were healthy into the playoffs. There were no injuries in the playoffs for them also. So that allowed them to continue to be good. The question of can they be a dynasty, no. Because I think that there's enough parity and competition from enough other teams that someone else will win the championship again next season. Will they be a team that's right there competing for it again? I believe they'll be right there competing for it again.
Yeah.
But I thought that they had everything happen perfectly for them to work this year. KCP played the way he played when he came over late in the season. Bruce Brown played as he's played for the entire year. Jeff Green comes out and all of a sudden, he is throughout the year consistent and a voice for them and has continued to play as he's done over the year. But then you have Christian Braun comes off the bench. He all of a sudden makes all Jamal Murray's. So I thought that they had everything happen perfectly.
Yeah. To him.
Will they be a top contender for a champ? Heck yeah. Can they be that every year? Yeah, but I just think in terms of winning it, yeah, and dynasties become three. Are you there 3 out of 5 years and you win 3 of them? Out of the 5 years you go, you win 3. Like they've only been in the championship one time.
Right.
Like it's not like they've been knocking on the door of the championship for every year and they just didn't get it. This is the first time they got to this point, and it's the first time that they've been a champion. So I don't know if I say a start of a dynasty. I think the start of a successful franchise having deep playoff runs, that is where they are at this point.
All right, some special shout-outs to a couple of guys that are getting rings with the Denver Nuggets. Shout-out to our guy Jeff Green.
Yes. You know that's my boy. We had a nice little text conversation with him. Very happy for him.
He's a guy that I love the story that has been out this week about, you know, when he had the heart conditions and people saying yep. he wouldn't last 5 years in the league. And
yep.
He's played for a lot of teams, but he's been impactful on most of those teams that he's played for, and he made a big impact for Denver.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, this is the thing. A lot people talk about the team situation. I think for Jeff, and he has, as you said, he's been impactful everywhere. And the reason why, and we say this joking around, there's always a team out there that's like, I want Jeff Green.
Yeah.
And if that team at that point can pay more, depending on what the contract situation is, I don't know how many times he's been traded. I think it's not. He's gotten to a point where he's just signing short deals, and then he's on to the next deal, which then works well for him. And so, but it is not he's just a throwing guy. Every team he goes to, he plays. Yeah. And every team he goes to, he plays well. And hopefully, I'm hoping the next guy you're going to say was Ish Smith.
Shout out to Ish Smith. He's next yes. on the list. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's my guy, boy. So happy. Another one of those guys who has bounced around, but bounces around for a reason. Number one, his size, but there's always going to be a team that says, we need a point guard that we can depend on. He's a dependable point guard. He's a pro, understands the position, understands his role. Very happy to see him dancing with goggles, holding a trophy.
Yeah, no doubt. And both of those dudes, you know, they have that thing in common that they've both played for a ton of teams, double-digit teams that they've played for. It's funny for me with my job, a lot of times, you know, at halftime when the teams come out to warm up, if I'm on the side of the visiting team, almost every team in the league, there's somebody who used to play for the Grizzlies, right? And they might come over and give you a hug or come over, shake your hand or give you a nod, whatever. Ish Smith and Jeff Green both will go out of their way to come over, shake your hand, give you a hug, ask how you're doing. And not only that, they know my name. And I'm like, man, you guys have played in every city. How many people do you know?
They're great guys.
But they're those kind of guys that they do know everybody.
Well, they understand it all. They get it. They get it. Like, they're pros, but they're still just people. Like, yeah. And they've had to go the hard way, the hard route in this city, moving their family. So I don't think for either of them, even with my plan for 19, you don't take the job for granted, is what you don't do.
Right.
And I think people feel that from you.
Yeah. DeAndre Jordan gets a ring. Yes. Shout out DeAndre Jordan. And let me tell you something, because I brought that up a couple weeks ago, and you were saying, hey, you know, this is just his role. I mean, this is, you know, not play, but be a leader. The things that he was doing on the bench were very similar to what you see Andre Iguodala doing with the Golden State Warriors. He was talking to everybody, DeAndre Jordan was. And I thought that was pretty impressive. I've never been a huge fan of his game, especially late in his career when he's been bounced around and people picked him up, and I never thought why they were picking him up. But he added something to that team, and he gets himself a ring.
Well, and another guy who I think just got lumped into a, you know, well, he's with the Clippers and our entire situation with the back and forth and big brother, big city, small city.
That's really the reason I don't like it.
Exactly. I mean, that for Memphis people, that's what it was. But if you ever had a chance to talk to him, I watched him do a cooking show at one point in time. Like, and I've had the opportunity just to have a conversation with him. And so it's been, you start to see guys in a different way. And so just like for Jeff and Ish, who I would say I know a little bit better than DeAndre, he's another one of those guys, though, that you find yourself saying, boy, I'm just happy that he was able to be in that position. And they put him in a game. Like, right. He played in a game in the finals when they needed the size to be on the floor. He still kept himself in a position ready to be able to play. So very happy for all three of those guys. Been around the league for a long time, been on a number of teams, but are positives and what you would call a pro.
Reggie Jackson, ring.
Reggie got a ring. Felt like he was the only one who was, I think because it came on late and it was like, I got the ring and I'm with the guys. I didn't get that same feeling like as into it as the other three were into it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I got, when just watching it from afar, it was kind of like he was like, this is, I'm here, but I didn't really play. What did I do?
Yeah. So shout out to those guys, Jeff Green, Ish Smith, DeAndre Jordan, Reggie Jackson, getting rings. Good for them. And they were in a parade this week, so that's awesome.
That parade was crazy. The videos from those parades, it's like the moment, little kid, when your parents said, "No, what, you can have as much candy as you want. Just eat it, have as much fun as you want." That's what winning a championship is like. Get as drunk or whatever you want to be, man, and give them a mic. And it's all right what they say. Don't worry about it.
I watched the parade a little bit on Thursday, and I thought to myself, the saddest day of my life is going to be when the Memphis Grizzlies win a world championship, and just that emotion that we're going to go through for days, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the parade's going to be awesome, and we get that call that says, hey, you guys got to be in the studio to do the show for the parade.
Shh. Yeah, right. You bet. There will be a Brevin Knight stand. Oh, no, we'll be there? Devin. Devin Knight will come down, and he'll be there, and I'll bring my brother back from outside of Chattanooga. He'll be my stand-in
for the show. That's right.
I will be at the parade.
I will be on a float.
Heck yeah! Even if they don't put us on a float, we will have our own float.
That's right.
And we will float down Beale Street. However many turns we're gonna make, because we got to extend it somehow. We're gonna be right behind the other float.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be great. I already figured it out. The parade will start at the Bass Pro Shop and the Pyramid. It'll go all the way down Front Street and then turn on Beale and come finish there at FedEx Forum and have the big celebration there at FedEx Forum. So there you go. I can't wait. That'll be fun. And we'll get to be a big part of it. Yeah. All right. Names that are in the news.
Okay, what we got?
Chris Paul, we think he's being waived. I don't know. Maybe he's not now. but we think. Where's Chris Paul to go to? Who? It seems like everybody's talking about two teams: Lakers, Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, so he's gonna go to a contender if he doesn't stay in Phoenix. If they're not able to work out whatever they need to work out there, I would see him opting for a contender with a lesser role.
Well, like, that sounds like the Memphis Grizzlies, Brevin.
Well, we talked about that at one point, and you know, for a team that doesn't have a third point guard, don't know going into the summer what's going to happen with the roster and the players that they have now. Tyus has been absolutely fantastic, but I always tell people, it's the business. Like and sometimes people say, "Oh, you're being callous," or you know, the individuals, the ones that we're able to get to know, you feel for everyone that is a Grizzlies player. I want nothing but the positive for them, and the positive that I want for all Grizzlies players is that you continue to get a contract. I don't care if it's with the Memphis Grizzlies, because I'm going to be able to see you and root for you wherever you are. But I just want you to have years on your contract so that you get to 10 years so that you're able to enjoy all of the fruits of your labor for retirement purposes. That's all I want. I want every one of these guys to play 10 plus years. Wherever you do it in the NBA, doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
So when we start talking about players, the business side of the game is, in order to get better, and if you want to make moves, teams are going to come after your better players.
Yeah.
And so the better players for this Grizzlies team, Tyus Jones is one of those players. You don't know what's going to happen in moves. I would love for us to be able to say, we had Tyus, Ja, Dez, Brandon Clark, Ja, Jaren. We had all of these, Steven Adams. I wish every year we can say, you know what, let's run it back with those guys, add a little bit here, and then it's unrealistic. The reality is something is going to happen. So if it would happen, Chris Paul is a fantastic addition. It kind of encompasses what we always talk about. A veteran that's been there, a veteran that knows how, that can still play the game while talking and teaching you the game. And a guy that will be well respected, I think, by everyone in the organization.
I think having a backup point guard is like having a backup quarterback. If you don't have one, you can't contend. Regardless of a guy being out for a significant amount of time, you've got to be prepared to be able to take over and lead the most important position on the team, lead the team. Now, yes, all the talk about the Grizzlies possibly making a move all include Tyus Jones because of his value, for sure. So let's say you have to get someone at that position. We just talked about Chris Paul. Here are some free agents at that position. All right? Want to get your thoughts.
I'm listening.
Ish?
My boy.
He can start.
Who else we got? Listen, because the other thing I started to think of this is, I'm not thinking of it as a one-year situation.
True, yeah.
Like I would like it to be something where there can be a level of stability with it.
Yeah.
Not just 1 year where, yeah, if y'all heard that was me having to just kill this fly. I do not.
Did you get him?
I think I got it.
All right.
But if I did get it, I killed it inside of, it was on top of a basket. So it went inside the basket, which is not good. So, but let me get back to what I was saying. What were we talking
about? You want multiple years for a guy.
Yes. I want some type of, because the consistency is what's made the team good.
Yeah.
And if you can find someone that at least can be maybe multi-year, not a for sure, but maybe multi-year, I think that's good for the team and it's good for Ja also.
Derrick Rose.
Now, here's the thing with Derrick Rose. Age-wise, yeah, he's been around the league, but he hasn't played a lot of basketball. And he is fine in what his role would be, but he still wants to play basketball.
Yeah.
You know, so you understand what I'm saying? It wouldn't be just, oh, just give me a year, I'll just make some more money. Like, if you watch, he still loves basketball.
Yeah.
And so that would be a nice one.
George Hill.
I like George Hill too. George Hill gives you some shooting, gives you a little flexibility because he can play a little bit of the two.
Leadership.
Leadership also, been around, knows the game. I think another guy that people could talk to, but also play, if you want to talk about basketball, playing the game, can shoot the three and play pick and roll basketball on the defensive side, still long arms, good IQ. So another, I would say maybe put him a little bit above Derrick Rose.
Dennis Schroeder.
Which Dennis Schroeder? Oklahoma City, Dennis Schroeder, love him. Since then, too erratic.
Yeah.
So, to that effect, is his durability better than George Hill's durability? I don't know. Maybe less minutes, no, not as much on him. It doesn't matter. I still maybe give George Hill a little bit of a nod.
Javon Carter. Need more than that.
I just need a little bit more. Yeah. I love his story. I love how he continued to, like how he's changed, kind of reinvented himself with the three-point shot.
Started a lot of games for the Bucks.
Exactly. When they had their injury. So a definite viable option.
This one I think is interesting. Trey Jones, Tyus's brother.
I don't know if he, I mean, Trey played well at that starting position. He played well in San Antonio. He was good. I mean, but what was his 3-point number? I don't remember when he was shooting threes. Even like when we played against, I didn't watch San Antonio much outside of that. But when we played him, he didn't do a lot of 3-point shooting, and I would like to at least have a little bit of a difference between your starting point guard and your guy that comes off the bench, and that we know that Ja continues to attack, has 3-point capabilities. I think that you add someone, George Hill, who is a little bit more of a has shot it, has been around a little bit longer, shot the ball, can make those threes. I think he gives you a little bit more shooting than Trey Jones. But I like his game though. I like the way he plays.
Couple of guys I like at the three. You're going to have to replace Dylan Brooks in the starting lineup. I wouldn't use him to replace Dylan Brooks, but I'd still take Jay Crowder back to come off my bench. But a guy that's interesting to me is Terrence Ross.
So Terrence Ross for me, not a three. I'm thinking Terrence Ross is a two guard.
Yeah.
He's intriguing, he's intriguing like Caris LeVert is intriguing. And I don't know what has happened with Caris LeVert, but this year in Cleveland, he went from start off the year, it was like, okay, it's Caris LeVert. Oh, then he just went down to two for the season. As a what? Like, what are we considering these guys?
I don't know. Him to score?
I probably would still take Caris LeVert over him.
All right. Couple of other guys in the news. Bradley Beal is looking at moves to get away from Washington. He makes $50 million! $50! Holy crap!
When you start talking about that number and being on another team, it's like, damn, you are going to take on $50 million? Bro? Bradley Beal is good, bro, but $50 million good? When he's playing with the Washington Wizards, it's like $50 million Bradley Beal. That's good. Let's go. Let's get out. Let's get him out there. Let's play. Nobody would talk about it. It's going to be for the team that he goes to either. You're going to have to expect him to be absolutely fantastic, or you're fine with paying the luxury tax.
Yeah.
And you have to see, does he still have that in the tank? He was hit by injuries hard this year, and so you have to really buy in. But is he a talent? Definite talent.
$50 million.
Today's game, Roberto.
Holy.
Welcome to today's game.
The Grizzlies would have to trade their whole starting five to get him.
Listen, I'm coming over to the house, because Keegan, because the WNBA, eventually they're going to start bumping up their thing. Keegan about to get in the parking. We about to be in the driveway.
About to get paid.
Because we're going to get that. As soon as that WNBA money changes, Keegan going to be ready to grab some.
You got to start working on those handles.
Sorry, I'm coming over.
Dame Lillard. Go somewhere, stay home. I loved the report this week of potentially Zion going to Portland.
I mean, this is right now. It's the Zion going everywhere because all of a sudden now he enjoys women. Now he's got to go to another team. It's like you think the dude you bring in doesn't enjoy women?
There was the other story that Zion to Charlotte, but Charlotte doesn't want him. They want Brandon Ingram instead. It's like, Jesus, what's going on?
Did this guy just go from he was literally the guy that was going to change the game, the next LeBron James?
Yeah,
he was the next unstoppable force in basketball. But so now it's like, now you can't give him away. Teams like, nah, we're good, we don't want him.
New Orleans can't get rid of him, right? I mean, you gotta
heck no,
you gotta wait on this,
man. Unless there is some crazy package that you get for him, you definitely have to wait, because the reality is, when he's out there playing on the floor, he's damn near unstoppable.
Yeah,
with the way that he plays the game, and so you definitely don't just give up on that for no reason. But listen, it was like you said. I think it's the off season, and I promise you, I just feel like people have nothing else to do in their lives but to realistically. I can't believe how many days that this thing went on with Zion Williamson, his off the court stuff. I was like, are y'all for real talking about this again today? Like, what?
Every day.
Tell me, explain to me. I'm still trying to figure out what are y'all vilifying? What did he do wrong? Like, because he had two girls. Like, why do they have to get rid of him because of that? I don't understand that. Like, now you got to get rid of Zion Williams. His image is. What are y'all talking about?
Because it's summer and we have nothing to talk about, Brevin.
I had to ask myself, like, am I missing something else to this? I had to ask my son, because you know how bad I am. I don't really pay attention to stuff, but it just was on everything. And I was like, it's got to be something that I'm missing, that they feel like he has to now, he can't be a part of the team anymore. And so, because of this, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's the summer. You're right.
The draft. I don't like the draft. I've told you before. I thought Adam Morrison was going to be great. I thought Steph Curry was going to be terrible. That's all you need to know about my draft work in preparation. So I've given up on it. I just go into the draft. I know there's Victor Wembanyama, who's a unicorn, and there's Scoot Henderson and Brandon Miller. After that, nothing. I got nothing for you, which means I don't know who the Grizzlies are going to take. My feeling would be with the Grizzlies' three picks, the Grizzlies don't take any of them. Or if they take them, they move them and acquire players and swap picks and maybe take one guy and swap the other two picks. Or I don't want a lot of guys on my roster that can't make an impact. We're a contender now. We don't have time to say that we hope we have hope for guys. Now you need guys that can play and make an impact.
Well, I just say, if you look at the teams that were there towards the end, going younger was not how they got there. There's not, like, young teams do not win championships. It just doesn't happen. Like, it's because of too much of a learning curve. You get to a point where you get to make the turn. And for this team, they made the turn. Like, they have a star player. They have multiple star players that can make things happen that are still young. And now just that, the mixture of the guys that have won that can continue to tell you how to win and keeping that chemistry going. But the added knowledge for this team, I don't think is bringing on three more rookies. It really doesn't change where they are, and I wouldn't expect for them to bring on three rookies this year.
Yeah, I don't either.
So I'm with you on the draft. College basketball, if you didn't play for Rutgers or Stanford, and outside of those names that you named right there, the other thing for a lot of these other kids, I don't even know their name. I just know, like, the number. Like, you say this name for this school, and I can be like, oh, was he number such and such? I don't even know their names. So it'll be interesting to see. I know why I'm interested in the draft. I want to see some moves. That's when I go to watch the draft at this point. I watch the draft to see who's going to make moves. Yeah. Like, because the players themselves, there are very few young guys that are going to come into this game and change it right away. Why? Because more times than not, they're going to bad teams.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be on a bad team. The players that they're going to have on that team are more likely going to be young. Most teams are in that, and so it's like, all right, that's cool. We'll see him play. It's good. He's in the Western Conference. We'll see him three or four times. Eastern Conference. We'll see him two times, maybe. And then we go from there. But I want to see like who's making the move that keeps you moving towards really getting that championship. I want to see what Oklahoma City does.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I mean, remember Chet Holmgren missed the whole season.
Yes. That is a very, they are in a very intriguing position in Oklahoma City, because It's like, all right, they did enough with the youth stuff, but you got a ton of picks still.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to keep going youth-wise, or do you think that you are also at that, because they got them a couple star players on their team also. And so are you at that point where you feel like, hey, you know what, we have a chance. Let's get out of that mode of the rebuild and now really do so. I think they owe it to Gilgeous Alexander to at least move in that direction.
Do the Grizzlies have their new starting small forward after the draft? After draft night?
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they're going to be very aggressive. If they don't have it, then we will hear the night after or a couple of days after how aggressive they were to try to make something happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
I think it's one or the other.
Yeah. And hopefully they are able to make it happen. Yeah, there's our draft preview. That's all I got for the draft. And they got me hosting this thing at Southland next week.
What? Guess what? I'll be sitting. They want me to sit right there with you.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. We'll probably just talk like this. Just do something like this for an hour and be done with it. It'll be good. All right, man.
I want to see Southland. I haven't seen Southland. It says it's supposed to be really nice.
It's awesome. Yeah, it looks really awesome. So I'm looking forward to it as well. It'll be fun. And to see all the Grizz people, the Grizz Nation, the fans.
Yeah, because I did Twitter like early this morning. I hadn't been on in a really, really long time.
Yeah.
I was on to like, my thing said 1 week on my, when I was on my timeline thing. It had been a while.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was good to see some of our people just kind of chatting in and tuning in. So it'll be good to see others in person.
Yeah, it'll be cool. And it'll be exciting because it's the draft night. And
it'll be exciting. It'll be fun.
We'll break it all down.
It gets me out of hermit status.
Yeah.
For at least a couple of days.
That's true.
And then I'll go back into my hole.
That's true. All right, well, that'll do it for us. BK, thanks, man. Great to see you.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
We gotta do this again, man. You know what? When I come home, I'm coming over to the house. We're gonna do another one. I don't know what the heck the topic will be on.
Well, we'll do it after the draft when the Grizzlies have made big moves.
Oh, that's right, because I'll be there. That'll be on Thursday. What's the draft? Next Thursday?
Yeah, so a week from today. Or what's today? What's today? Saturday? I don't know.
I just said the draft is Thursday. You say, in a week from today.
Well, I meant we'd record a week from today.
All right, well, next Friday or Saturday. That's the way, at least, and now we can really live up to that one.
Yeah.
Next week, so when people are tuning in, they'll got to be like, well, guess we won't hear you guys for another month or so. No, we'll be on next week.
But
I was just talking about my own wife. When are you going to do another podcast?
Well, thank you all who are listening. We appreciate it. And we'll be back next week with another show. That's right. But that'll do it for us this week. Enjoy the draft. And hopefully it'll be an exciting night. And we'll have something big to talk about next week. For Brevin, I'm Fish. This has been Night Court. We will talk to you again next week. And thanks for tuning in.
Peace.